You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. Well, if you only focus on the craft brews or the wines made in Michigan, you're missing a growing part of the Michigan beverage scene, cider. Cider Week GR is happening right now through the 19th in Grand Rapids. It includes the annual Great Lakes Cider and Perry Competition. It's the largest competition of its kind in the world, according to Paul Vanderhyde, who owns Vandermill LLC of Grand Rapids. They make more than 250,000 gallons of cider a year, and they sell it in a number of Great Lakes states. Paul's also the president of the United States Association of Cider Makers. Paul, welcome.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Cider kind of has come in and out of favor for the American drinker. Can you tell us a little bit about that history?
Yeah, absolutely. A lot of people don't know that if you go far back enough to colonial times in the United States, cider was the most consumed alcoholic beverage for a number of different reasons. One was access to fruit was pretty available, and for two, you had limited availability of reliable fresh water. So a lot of folks would ferment cider as a way of just something safe to drink. The alcoholic fermentation process is a natural cleansing of bacteria and things that bother our body. So if you go back that far, it was one of the most popular things. And then post-prohibition, it really kind of fell out of favor as beer took over things. And we saw a few times in the last 20 years or so that cider has popped his head up. In the 90s was a very popular time for cider, and there were a few national brands at that time. And then really it was first decade of the 2000s that craft cider started making an appearance again, and we've seen this resurgence since then. It's been great.
What do you think has caused this resurgence?
You know, a lot of it, I think, is people and their kind of general interest in knowing where products come from, especially products that they're consuming. The local food movement, local beverage movement has certainly played a big role of it. And then also the popularity of craft beer, you know, has given people the sense that they're willing to try new things, willing to step out of what they are used to, and I think that has benefited cider as well.
You talk a lot, Paul Vanderhyde, about educating drinkers to bring cider to their palates. How do you go about doing this?
Well, the best way is literally getting it on their palate. A lot of folks don't really know what cider is. Folks will use the term cider beer, which there's no brewing process in cider making, so we're trying to educate them that that's not a thing. We also have a bit of a misunderstanding as to what cider is relative to sweet cider that people tend to know about.
Why don't you get everybody on board with that right now?
Yeah, well, cider, if you go to areas in Europe where and you use the word cider, it's by default people imagine a fermented apple juice. Here in the U.S., we've come to know cider to be, you know, the brown sweet juice that you get fresh from your local cider mill or orchard, when really we would call that apple juice. And we would think of cider as being a fermented beverage. So it's literally just a definition misunderstanding. And, you know, that's why we end up referring to hard cider as kind of giving that influence of alcohol. So we're in the industry, we're happy to let people say whatever they like as long as they're drinking the beverage, but we try to steer them towards what we're really making is cider, and cider is a fermented beverage of apple juice.
What does, in your mind, a good Michigan cider taste like?
Michigan grows great apples. The dominating market for our apple supply is definitely the fresh market. People go into the grocery store and picking out apples for fresh eating or culinary use. Because that's what's predominantly available to us, we end up using that fruit for cider making as well. A good friend of mine who's also in the Michigan wine industry long ago told me, you know, what we should be doing is we should be representing the fruit to the best of our ability post-fermentation. Similar to what a grape winemaker would want to do is represent the essence of the fruit. So in our case, Michigan apples tend to be sweet and bright and crisp and acidic. So for Vandermill, anyway, what we like to present first and foremost is that quality of the fruit. So our ciders tend to be, they range from sweet to dry, but we try to maintain the malic acid that is resident in the apple, so it's kind of an acidic bite. to it, more so than what a lot of other beverages tend to present. And then just a nice clean fermentation, so you get some apple aroma and that wonderful fermented flavor of apple. I will say, though, that people shouldn't expect a hard cider to taste like apple juice any more than you would expect your red wine to taste like grape juice. So there is that distinction, but we do try to hold on to the qualities of the apple the best we can.
Why is it that West Michigan is such a hot spot in cider production?
You know, the number one answer is apples. Mm-hmm. Michigan is the third largest producer of apples in the country, and it's not a surprise, I suppose, that the majority of these craft cider producers around the country, and Michigan's no different, is coming from apple-growing regions. And Michigan is doing a fantastic job on even a national standard of having very good quality cider and a lot of producers. We have, I think, upwards of about 80 wineries and cideries that are producing cider in the state. And we're very well represented on the national craft scene, so it's great.
What about the relationship between a cider maker and apple farmers? Do you work with specific growers? I'm wondering how that works.
We do. In one particular case, we work with the Dietrich family here in West Michigan, and we've actually worked on a project with them to grow specific apples for us, more traditional, some English and French varieties of apples, which are long sought after by American cider producers. And then we work with a number of different orchards to procure, you know, the culinary and or fresh varieties that we use year-round.
Now, I'm curious how you compete with other craft beverage makers, especially the craft beer folks, which have taken Grand Rapids by storm. How do you mount that challenge?
You know, I think even amongst the craft brewers, there's certainly competition, but there's a camaraderie and a common goal of getting people to drink products that are made locally and made with the unique care that each producer brings to it. And we have kind of the same relationship with brewers and craft distillers and other winemakers. Cider is such a small part yet of the total beverage category. I believe nationally it's less than 2% of beer alone, less than 1% of all craft beverage. So we're really looking at, you know, the scale of a lot of the national producers who still retain a considerable amount of market share. I think craft producers in many cases band together in the effort of trying to bring people a local beverage. But at the same time, we're competing for shelf space, we're competing at bars and restaurants for tap handles and exposure. But thus far, it's been a very friendly environment to be in and really rather refreshing.
Paul Vanderhut is president of the United States Association of Cider Makers, and he owns Vandermill LLC of Grand Rapids. Paul, thank you so much for talking with us.
Hey, thanks so much for having me, and keep drinking that cider. We hope we get more of your listeners doing it as well.